Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you today. You know, there's share something with you that has a lot to do with our fellowship and God's body of on this earth. But one time that we had a little bit of a time out with TV time in our home, and so we turned the TV off. I know you've probably had folks that experienced this, turn the TV off for a while and not spend so much time on the TV, but we did that at our home on Edison. I forget how long it was, but we shut the TV off and Shirley put a note right on the TV. Put a note right on it. The view gets better when you look up. And one of my nephews came over. They were quite often at the house playing with our kids. I don't know if it's Josh, Shirley, or Seth, but he came over and they saw the note. And they read the notes and they looked up and so they said, gee, what's up there that's better than here? You know? So I don't know if he ever got it. I think he did later on. But the view gets better when you look up. And so we all going to face our share of trials. We're going to face all three, mental, physical, and spiritual. You all know what I'm talking about. And some days are diamonds and some days are stone. And as the song says, but you know, hopefully we are learning to walk with Jesus steadfastly no matter what we are facing. Even though the lump might be in your throat. Even though it may be very difficult to say, I'm sorry, like your mouth full of peanut butter or taffy. I am. Picture yourself. What are you going to do? I'm sorry. But sometimes it's difficult. And because they're the jerk, I'm not the jerk, so why am I being sorry, you know? But so often we judge ourselves, and it's a bad judgment. We don't judge ourselves as God judges. Sometimes our judgment is way out of line. We think better of ourselves than what we should. But anyhow, it's real out there, isn't it? Our walk and the trials that we face, the situations that we're in. And but may God bless you as you continue to look to Him and not quit. Don't ever quit. Because it's always too soon to quit, and it's always too soon to give up. If it weren't for the trials in my life, I know that I wouldn't have the squeezing, Francis, and the squeezing brings out the vintage, and that's what God wants. He wants to see where we're really living when it's not convenient to be godly. God wants us to be godly. That's where the real life is. When it's not convenient, when you're really hurt, when you really feel it, then that's the time to really live it and to really call out to the Lord. And Shirley said something about down there in the valley where it's misty, where it gets, Mary used the expression, foggy sometimes. And so she expressed how sometimes it seems like you walk in a fog a little bit, but then you want to bring it back to the moment for clarity and looking to the Lord in that moment. It really touched my heart, Mary, to see you express some things sometimes and how you all do this. It really ministers to me deeply, because when you said that you're going to be evaluated, you also said, however, yea, though I walk, you know, I'm going to do this through that shadow. The valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to look to the Lord, and you did. Now, how many of you related to what Shirley said in light of that, about being laid out on a stretcher, getting ready to have surgery? That's one of the most humiliating situations that I can think of, one of them, is to be laid out and facing surgery where they're going to do to you whatever the plan is, but you're going to be out, and you're just going to be, you have nothing but a gown on. And they've got all kinds of things. You've already signed your statement that, you know, hey, you know, I'm not going to hold you accountable or all this and that. But it's a situation where you have to really trust. It's like the fall back and hope whoever's behind you catches you type of thing. And how many of you are learning to, okay, Lord, you're the surgeon. I'm going to let this go. I know I need some work here. I know you need to get in there. And sometimes the Lord needs to do exploratory surgery. I mean, He knows all the time what's going on, but sometimes the Lord needs to open some things up and do exploratory surgery, because He knows what's in there, but He wants to take the forceps and stuff and bring it out after surgery and show you what He found. Was that was really in me? And it's got to be removed. And so even though He knows it's in there, He does the surgery and He lets you see it. And now Shirley's a little different. She'll go to the dentist and she'll want a mirror to watch the whole process. I mean, she amazes me. She'll get the mirror. I've been with her right beside the dentist, and she's sitting there going, now, what are you going to do next? And she's got the mirror right there. And so sometimes the Lord will say, here, you want the mirror? You want to see what we're going to do here? No, Lord, no, you do your thing, you know. But it's she amazes me. And but to be laid out that way and to be intubated without any anesthesia, which she was, because they couldn't, because the thyroid was pressing on her trach or her windpipe. They said, we can't put you out, so we're going to have to put this old hard intubation tube down your throat while you're awake. How about that? And that can cause a lot of fear, because it can make you feel like you're being smothered. Putting that down your throat, which is going to help you breathe during the process, but putting it down is, pow, what are you doing? And that's another situation where you just kind of laid out and vulnerable. But what did she say? What was Shirley's cry? Lord Jesus, what were the very words you...
You alone are God.
You alone are God. You were thinking about that song. You are alone our God, and I surrender to your ways. So how y'all doing? Are you... I'm just throwing some things out there for you to think about, but are you laying your life out there? Are you willing for the great physician, the great surgeon, to do surgery on you when you know you need it? And or, here's the other thing, or don't have the surgery done. If you leave it in there, it's going to what? It could metastasize and get worse and grow, so you got to have it out. Boy, oh boy. Lord, do to me what you will. If you mean it, He will. And sometimes we're like Indian givers, you know, wherever that expression came from, for those poor people, we were the Indian givers. That's a ripoff there, but you know what I'm talking about. We'll give it up and we want to take it back. And so some days are not so warm and fuzzy, but we have to press through to be like Jesus as He pressed through with what He went through. And so we've got to practice this life. And when you practice it, the Lord will be sure that you get the experiences necessary for you to grow. The muscles are not going to be growing unless they're exercising. The lungs, the muscles, the brain, it all needs to be exercised. And our walk of faith is no different. Praise the Lord. I want to share something with you as far as a testimony, and I'm also welcome any other testimonies because of the enrichment that we get out of them. How many of you know about or heard about, maybe not crazy about, but heard about it, Tim Tebow lately? Mm-hmm. Anybody heard about Tim Tebow? Anything? Almost whether you want to know it or not, most people are hearing about it. Well, you know, he is... good morning, Brian. Good to see you. God bless you, brother. Tim Tebow, from way down, and his whole family's loved the Lord. They've been missionaries to the Philippines and different places in the world. And he was raised that way. He loves the Lord. I thank God, though, that he is a part of that deal. What Jesus said, we're a city on a hill. Let your light so shine, don't put it under a bushel, you know. And you got some young folks that are really admiring him for that. However, we have 7 billion people in the world. There's just a few that are decided to follow Jesus, but there's some young people that are really blessed by him. And lately they call it the Tebow, what do they call it when he kneels? And he'll kneel and he'll just pray to the Lord like this. He just always seems to be doing it all the time. But some high school kids, football kids, boys did that, and they were rebuked for it. But that's how it is, though, in the world. But anyhow, he's an example of someone who loves the Lord and that does not want to compromise his faith and give in to the world. He's entering that world right now where almost all the television shows want to interview him and all the talk shows want to interview him. And it's almost like the devil, wants to take him down. Yeah. It's just like, it's just like you, it's just like me. If the devil can, he wants to take you down. And because that's his objective, that's his goal. But I keep seeing the interviews, and I keep seeing the consistency, and I keep seeing the humility that he has in Christ Jesus. And he's not ashamed of the Lord. So many people, funny, ha-ha, and they bash him, they do all kind of things. But the facts are, he's won 8 out of the last 9 games that he's been quarterback. So at first, they thought that it's not going to last after he won the first game. And then the second, not him, his team, but he's quarterback. You know what I'm talking about. He's sort of, the orchestra, he's the maestro of the team, and he goes out and you do your thing as a quarterback. So he gets, you either get credit for winning or losing as a quarterback along with the team. So he's won like 8 out of the last 9. And so every game it's like, oh, we'll see about the next game. We'll see about the next game. We'll see about the next game. And today they're playing, Denver's playing New England Patriots. Linda's not here. She's at the airport right now. They're playing the New England Patriots at 4:30. And the world is watching. Whether he wins or loses, he's a winner. You see, because he loves the Lord. And so you can't just put something on someone that, well, based upon your faith, if you don't win, if you win today, then we'll, okay, that's cool. But if you don't win, then, so what, type of thing. But we'll see what happens. But one way or the other, he's committed to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say something about this because it has a lot to do with every single one of us. This man has gone through a retraining of his throwing arm. He's left-handed, and at the University of Florida, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, and they won 2 national championships, but he had a tendency to wind up back here too much for the NFL's liking. And so, but he was still drafted by Denver. So even though he's Heisman Trophy and they won 2 national championships, he would bring his arm back here a little bit too far or low to throw the ball. But in the NFL, you got to get rid of it right away. And I was watching this just yesterday on a sports thing that they were talking about him. He has been training and training and training to keep the ball up, to get the ball out quickly. And they said, from a training standpoint, Christians, from a training standpoint, it takes thousands and thousands of throws to retrain a habit. That's it. They put him on film. He stands back and he watches it. And he said, and the guy stands back behind him, and he's got something back here that no, don't go any further than this. And the guy's standing back there behind him. And I forget what it was. I don't know if it was like a piece of paper or something behind him. So every time he pulls his arm back and go beyond that or touch that, it's too far. So your mind knows what they want to do. They know what the objective is. I got to get this ball out fast. This is the NFL. I got to get it out. No wind-up time. A lot of things are going on here. Thousands and thousands of throws. And it shows him. It shows him just out there just practicing. And they interview him. He says, yes, I'm willing to do this because I know I have to do it. He's humble about it. He's not saying, You guys are jerks. I'm a Heisman Trophy winner. I won 2 national championships. Let me tell you what it's all about. You see, that's how some Christians get a little squirrely. They get a little rascally with the Lord. Like, I know. I know. I mean, in our message today, we're talking about the crisis that was there from the beginning. What do you know more than what He knows? Yeah. He came to this earth and He was born of the Virgin Mary. The world's going to celebrate that December 25th coming up. But we're talking about Him who was from the beginning. He knows what He's talking about. He knew us before we were fashioned in the womb. He wants us to be successful. So we need to do what? If we're going to get this right, what do we need to do?
Practice.
What's that? Practice? What else?
Humble ourselves.
Retrain. What are these? Humble ourselves and train. Listen over and over again. You know, Tim, it's cool. You're doing it. We see some improvement. But you're doing, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not doing that. You know, but you are. And we're going to show you on film. We're going to let you see. Don't take my word for it. We've got it all on film. We can even make it real slow motion for you. We can let you see exactly what you're doing. And then you go, oh. See, but God can put you on film. See, He speaks to your heart. The Holy Spirit can speak to your heart and show you you. And then you go, well, it's not mom, it's not dad, it's not my sister, it's not my brother, it's not my uncle that's telling me, okay, I get it. The Holy Spirit is convicting me. I need to make some adjustments. 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 We need to keep adjusting. It's not going to stop till the day God takes you home or the day you cease to exist and your heart quits beating. So get over it. Get over trying to think that God is not the bad guy. He who is from the beginning wants us to have a fellowship with Him, to be like Him. It is a process. It's going to take time sometimes to practice doing something that you were so used to doing a certain way. And what I love about what I'm hearing in here, I've heard it several times. I used to. Blah, blah. But I'm not doing that anymore. It's powerful. I've heard them just recently. I'm hearing wives say things about their husbands. He used to. And the husband's saying, I used to, and vice versa. I love it. I used to be a runner. I used to be a runner. And I used to shut up when I didn't want to discuss it anymore. One day I was so hurt, and we've heard this before, but there was like 5 days of silence on my part towards Shirley. I mean, I actually hated it. Praise God, I used to do that, and no more. But I would just be, I was so hurt, I'd just be quiet. Just quiet. And it killed her. And I didn't mean to kill her, but that's the jerk, that's what came out. Just quiet. Didn't do any harm. I mean, no physical harm or anything like that. Just quiet. But that was harmful. You can't do that. You can't leave a conversation because you're upset. You cannot walk out of the kitchen to your little room, to your little cave. You can't do that. Or, I got to go to the bathroom now. And you know what you're doing. You're not going to the bathroom. You're just getting going to shut the door. Whatever. You know? Whatever. Excuse is, you cannot walk away from what God has you facing. It could be a boss. It could be a situation that at work. It could be something at home. It could be something at school. It could be something at home. You know, we can't walk away from the discipline of the Lord. He's training us. He's training us. Tim Tebow keeps looking at it and he says, yeah, I know, I got to make those improvements. I got to do this and I got to do that. And it shows him out there working all day long. Work, work, work. Yes, he gets paid a lot of money in the NFL for doing that. That's his job. But he's very humble about it. Yes, yes, yes. And they've won 8 out of 9. I don't know what's going to happen today, but it doesn't matter to me. I like to see him win. And I don't know who Linda's voting for, New England or Denver, but she loves Tim Tebow too. So they call him the Mauhai Messiah now. Hollywood's doing this. People, so here he is. He said, I didn't have anything to do with that, but it's the world. It's how the world is. Look what they did to Jesus. And so don't think it's so bad that if you make a stand for Jesus and the world doesn't think you're the most wonderful person in the world for that, you keep living your life. Do what you got to do. Don't compromise. Because the world is out there. They're wanting to get you to follow them and away from the light.
Mark, I had a conflict last week with that. I've been a Chicago Bears fan for a long time. I actually did the security for the Chicago Bears when we won the Super Bowl in New Orleans, in Super Bowl 20. And when Tim Tebow beat the Bears last week, I was rooting for Tim. And it just shows you right there that, you know, your priorities do change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of folks right now, we're not just rooting for Tim, we're rooting for Jesus.
Well, that's to me, yes, sir. I was who cares? I don't, John Elway and Denver Broncos, no big deal to me in the past.
Exactly.
But now it's not really Denver, it's the principle. I love Christian. There are other Christians in the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball and all sports. But he is in the light of the world that is, they're just everywhere, just cameras everywhere. He's single, he's great looking, he's buffed up and all those things. He's like a David and Goliath type thing. I mean, he really is buffed up. You know, most women would like to get him for a catch, you know.
It's one thing to say you're a Christian and then act like a Christian.
Yes, ma'am.
That's why people are so drawn, especially Christians, because they're like, oh, there's many, you know, NFL players that are Christians, but do you see any fruit from it? Do you see that what he's doing?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's by your, I mean, it's not only by your works, but he's, you know, humbly, you can see, you know, if it's true or false.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fruit of him just being honest and humble, like you were saying, like, that's why so many people are drawn to him, because he's just like,
he's real.
Yeah, and it's not me, it's God. You know, I think that's
very real. Now, there's people probably that are linemen, that are Christians, but they're not winning or whatever. They're not going to go interview them.
Yeah.
You know, they can love the Lord with all their heart and have prayer meetings and everything. Tony Dungy, praise God for that man. NFL coach, love the Lord. Not ashamed of that either. And a lot of different things that he's done to benefit the Christian, you know, message, the message of Jesus Christ. So how y'all doing? You know, I'm just throwing some things out there for your testimony because I think it's very appropriate to each and every one. Is anyone else, you know, really experiencing? See, teaching is not, Shirley says, teaching is not just reading stuff. It's stimulating brain cells and heart cells to see if we're getting it. And that promotes a life, a walk with Jesus Christ, particularly in Him. Francis?
I'd just like to praise the Lord for His love, His goodness, and His mercy on Brooke, my granddaughter. She's only 21, but she had thyroid cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know it was cancer until they opened it up, but he had suspected it. Anyway, it had gotten, she had had it for 7 years and wasn't aware of it, but that made her 14 years old when she got it. So he took the whole thing out. But thank God, I don't think there's anything in her lymph nodes or anything that they're testing them to see. But they said it was, it had all wrapped around her vocal cords, and had Bill not taken her to get it checked out within the 6 month period, she would have lost her voice box because it was so entwined around her vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God that.
Merciful God.
When I went to see her, she was just like a little trooper. She's little anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She looks like a 16-year-old. So anyway, she was really in good spirits, even though she knew that that had been done and not everything, and there was a test waiting. But she has made a profession of faith. But I don't think she's living it, because I just asked the Lord to draw, really draw
yes.
them back.
Yes.
And, you know, some people would say, well, I'm sure that people in her, our family have even said, what kind of a God is that?
Yeah.
A loving God. Mm-hmm. What kind of, what do you call that, a loving God? Because why would Brooke be so attacked, you know, and have this cancer? But, you know, God has a plan for each and every one of us, and He knows what that plan is.
Yes, ma'am.
And all we got to do is bend our knees.
Yes.
I'm hoping and praying that God will use that one for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, and
mm-hmm.
Well, all of them. All
yeah,
of them,
the whole gang.
They're not living for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Of all places, I believe the thyroid is one place that kind of contains cancer more than others, or it doesn't spread so rapidly. So, what a merciful God. The same thing, perfect example, what we're saying about surgery. You may not know it's in there, but we opened you up. We're going to show you what has been in there since she was 14. Incredible. Really is.
I just wanted to clarify that little saying that talking or telling is not teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Listening is not learning. There's much more to it. Anyway, I'm coming up here because I want to give glory to the Lord for great, great things that He has done in our lives. Tuesday marks our 35th anniversary. And I just thank God for every step of the way, even when I wasn't thanking Him. I do want to thank Him now, because he tells you some of the stories, and yes, it was very true. I was bedridden, so I couldn't go running after Him and say, come on, talk to me, come on, talk. He just had to walk out of the room. And for 5 days, nothing. And at night, he would slip inside his side of the bed very quietly, not say a word, slip out, got out of the room. And so it didn't really kill me, but it was kind of unusual. It was the first time that ever happened, and it was the last time. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
For that.
Amen.
But I want to give glory to God, because we know from the beginning that God put us together. And you can always look and say, well, that's unlikely. And then there were people who predicted, well, I'll give you 6 months, you'll all be split up. And somebody else says, well, why do you sit so close to one another? You know, that won't last long. And people said some kind of harsh things to us. We didn't pay any attention to it, because we just knew that such a short little courtship was barely a courtship at all, and we don't go telling other people they should do this. But God has blessed us all the way. Along the way, I've always thanked the Lord for putting me with a man who could keep me under control, because I'm a kind of a hard-headed, controlling personality. There's some others in here, you know what I'm talking about. But a controlling personality can run a man over. But I could see it all along where he didn't let that happen. But because I was yielded to the Lord, I'll yield to the Lord in times when I, like, you know, spark against him. That's why we call him Sparky. You know, if he brings something right back to the Lord, then I yield. So he has a way, he has a manner. I don't know if anybody else could have done it all these years. So I say these things to honor him as a man who I've seen him grow and mature as a man of God for 35 years. When I met him, he was just a little boy.
Out there having fun.
Yeah, he was. He was a 27-year-old, single, handsome guy, and girls were falling all over him. And I'm like, they're probably saying, who's this dark horse? I came out of nowhere. Where did she come from? But God had a plan. And please let me say that it's been a wonderful 35 years, but it has not been perfect.
Hey, amen.
And we have
amen.
Had our times, and if anybody tells you any different, then they're lying. But we certainly both had our thoughts, you know, those times when you figure, I'm done with this, I am out of here. Of course, you can hear, that's the flesh saying, I've had enough, you know, but then, where do you go?
Where are you going to go?
Where do you go? I had the finance.
If you love the Lord.
You know, I had a car, a suitcase, I could go. Where am I going to go? Because wherever I end up, there I am, still my husband. Well, so divorce him, you know. Well, it never really got that far with me, because we were trained. I was trained in my family. You never divorce. We heard that from our parents. You know, you make your choice and you stick with it. Rough times, easy times, and somewhere along the line in our society that disappeared. But whenever I would have those thoughts, you know, being a servant of God, then I, you know, he'd let me know, well, that's stupid. Stupid, you think you've had enough? Of course you had enough. You know, you get frustrated, you get tired, but God always brought us back, and to remember that the very reason what we fell in love with in each other was our love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew, God assured me from the very beginning, if I keep my eyes on him, this is the way he said it, everything will be okay. He didn't say everything would be easy, or, you know, or he just said it was going to be okay. And I knew that that meant that even if this man left me for whatever reason, or God took him, my eyes on Jesus, everything is going to be okay. So I have just really delighted in seeing his growth, his as a man, as a pastor, tremendous growth along the way. As my husband, as a husband, he has yielded himself to the Lord in ways that I don't even know if I could. But he yields to the Lord to serve me. Mm-hmm. And in those moments when I get upset with you, I'm just so sorry, because you're such a good husband. He does. How many husbands? He rubs my back every night. Or every morning. In the morning, he rubs my back in the morning. And if I ask him if I got a little itch, he'll scratch it for me. And he has, after many years of, you know, the old habits he was talking about? It's hard to break out of those.
Mm-hmm.
He was brought up in a household of many boys. And boys had their place, and women had their place, and believe me, the woman's place is in the kitchen. And he didn't actually express that, and he never, you know, put demands on me, but it was there. And after many years, God did something in him, and he realized that he could actually go to the kitchen and fix his own meal. And then he became to realize where he could actually wash his own dishes. And I'm not saying that in a degrading way. I mean, this is a big thing. It really is. And I didn't nag on him about it, but it's a big thing. And he made these changes. He just kept yielding to the Lord and making these changes. 35 years. I also want to say that though we look like the perfect couple, maybe we don't, but in times past, you know, whenever we would look perfect, and people would see us in church with our perfect three perfect children, and they would look at us, and some people actually would think, wow, wish we could be like them, not realizing that we're just as human as everybody else.
Amen.
We have our struggles, we have our fears, we have our disappointments, but those things are less and less and less because we know him more and more and more. So I just want to thank the Lord for you here among the brethren, and just to honor you by that, because I know that through your life, God has been glorified.
Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, honey. That's a great testimony. Thank you. Now, I'm not going to elaborate back to her, but praise the Lord.
That's my new outfit that he gave me.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
That's a gift.
You're welcome. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you so much for expressing that. I do thank God for you and all that we've been through, and sometimes we share stories as we go, and those rich lessons come out. But I know one thing, I think this is what started all. I used to run, and I'm not going to do it anymore. It's like she said, where are you going to go?
Well, I just want to say that for years, we did look like the perfect couple, because we never had fights. And we knew a couple that the wife would throw dishes at her husband when she got angry.
Yeah.
We didn't even raise our voices at each other. But after quite a number of years, the Lord began to show us why we didn't fight. It was because we both just would rather not talk about it. But you know what? When you do that, when you don't talk about it, it's inside. It just kind of builds up. So the Lord set us free from all of that. But I want to give, I just want to say another thing about what the Lord is doing. You know, we pray for
people to be changed and to know him more and to, mm-hmm. you know, our family to become closer together, as God said for this year's theme, you know, together and united. And I just see wonderful things happening. I know in the spirit that we are more united than we ever were, even though the group seems small, but that's not what God is looking at. He's looking at the hearts. And then, you know, on the exterior, the things that we can see, I just wanted to mention some things that, you know, I see what we have people that, when there's a need, they step up to it. And I was telling somebody the story about the story of the men's bathroom and the accident that was in there. I don't know if many of you know it, but there was a horrible accident in the men's bathroom several weeks ago. And it was very, very bad. But we had people who stepped up and just willingly and happily went and cleaned it. And I'm talking big. This was big. Well, when I told somebody this story, they were like so amazed. Franny was one of the people that got up and she went and got all the clean stuff and cleaned that bathroom out. It was bad. And Eddie was another one. He did the preliminaries and then she went in. And other people hear about this and they're like, gosh, that's really something that they were willing to do that, just get up and go clean. Like, it's strange to other people, but of course we would, you know, we rise to meet the need. And so, you know, I thank the Lord that we have mm-hmm. hearts that are willing. You see a need and you step up to it. Like Naomi, she said, well, don't we, I think it was you, don't we need some candles in the ladies' room? Well, yeah. Well, then she's stepping up to she saw the need and she's going to mm-hmm. put some candles in there. And you know, now this may not seem like a big thing, but these are, mm-hmm. it all makes our family work together. And I wanted to also about, you know, the need for cleaning and the, your girls and you have stepped up to do some cleaning. And of course, last week was really rough. This has probably seemed like a piece of cake this week. But you know, when there's to see a need, to hear about a need, and then willingly and quickly step up to meet it. I wanted to also thank God for Linda. So she didn't have to do this, but her sister had a bunch of stuff left over from a yard sale and gave it to Linda. And Linda says, okay, well, I'll take it to Carolyn's yard sale and try to sell it. Now, that's a lot of work, those of you who have yard sales. But she did it, and well, I want to thank the Lord for Mary, first of all, because she donated the stuff, and it wasn't junk. It wasn't old junk. It was good, nice stuff. And so she donated it, knowing there was a need. Now, you know, we're trying to do some upgrading of the building. So Mary gave it, but then mm-hmm. Linda had to do something, and it was a long, hard day yesterday for them. But that, you know, whatever the proceeds were, which I don't have the figure, but it goes toward the church, you know, the needs of the church. And so I'm loving seeing, and I know I'm
absolutely
not seeing everything. I certainly don't see everything, but you know, like behind the scenes, we're stepping up and helping one another. A phone call here, a little encouragement there, a prayer someplace else. You know, all of us, this is what God wants more of for us, you know, as a family, to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be glorified as we love one another and as we serve one another and help meet the needs. Now these, you know, what if you found out somebody didn't have any, what's happened? We've got no food. And you know that. Well, you bring them food. You know, I just thank the Lord. That's all I'm just saying. Glory to God, because he's doing what we need to be doing. He's working it in us.
You know what Shirley is saying, and this is a scripture, I'm not sure where it is, but it says, in him we live, move, and exist, and have our being. And you're not going to be able to live, move, and exist, and have your being unless you're out there in the real world doing real things where they really happen. And talking about our situation that happened and the people that jumped in there, that tells me we've got some real people here that have the real fabric of Jesus Christ in their life, and you're living it, and you're practicing, you're retraining, and you're getting away from the Adam nature to the nature of Jesus Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit. And so it's great. I love it. I love to see it.